pet peeves. You know, like Tuesday, people are like, I can't wait till Friday. Friday at 3:30, life happens. Okay, you're laughing because that you said that. Why is it that we're, you know, we look forward to the weekend? Well, we get off the grind, right? Or you know, off the rat race, you know, as some people say. The teacher, Solomon, says this in verse 9, what has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun in this earth. It says there's nothing really new in our humanity and what we're living for. Now things change. We have different gadgets and different places we live, but life, that's life under the sun. And yet it's interesting. There's other books in the Old Testament, and Jesus himself said, you know what, I have come to make all things new. Different messages in Solomon. It's interesting. The Old Testament prophets, you know what they did? Is they, because so many people were stuck in this, and they had this mindset, is there anything really out there that can help me? And the prophets said, you know what? God promises he's bringing a new heart, a new covenant. He's going to give you a new mind. And you know who that person is that gives us a new heart, a new covenant, a new mind? Jesus. It's the one we celebrated, many of us, last week on Easter. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again, to give newness. But without Jesus living under the sun, right, there's nothing new. The Bible says, ultimately, there's no lasting meaning. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first God's kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be given to you as well. Interesting. And basically he's saying, you know, you want to really be able to enjoy life under the sun? You want to enjoy life and the things that we have here on earth? Then seek me. Know me. Do what is right in my eyes. You know, the teacher, Solomon, had accomplished a lot in his life. If you know much about him, he built the temple. Huge, magnificent, amazing. Matter of fact, some of that temple is still there today. Thousands of years, like 3,000 or so years later. The temple, the Wailing Wall, you heard of that? That's part of the original temple. That's why it's so important. He also built these amazing gardens. Maybe you've heard of Solomon's Gardens. They were just amazing gardens that he had built. And so many other things that he accomplished. But still, what does he say here? Meaningless, meaningless. He says, yeah, I've done all that stuff, but it didn't satisfy. It doesn't bring meaning. It doesn't bring purpose. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3. Chapter 1, says, what does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Skip down to verse 8. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. See, the eye never has enough of seeing, or the ear its fill of hearing. Solomon basically says, you know what? Working harder, you know what it accomplishes? More work. And wearisome. Being weary. We have the American idea that, you know, if you work, just work hard enough, you'll achieve your American dream. And you know what? In some ways, for many, some people, they do that. And yet, even those who, quote, have the American dream, and yet you talk to some of them, you hear about them, they're always striving for more, right? We're always striving for more. And Solomon says, you know what? The more work you do, the more work you think you have to do. And at some point, you just become weary. Truth is that we're never satisfied. We're always reaching out for more. And sometimes that's a good thing, but not if it's reaching out where you have no purpose or meaning, right? It's never enough. You can't ever get enough. There's always one more show to watch. There's always one more game to play. There's always, you know, one more Snapchat to take, or Facebook or Twitter, you know, all these things. But what have we gained? What have we accomplished? What is the ultimate profit in those things? Again, I'm not down on those things. I do many of those things. But when those become the things that we think will bring us, man, if I just have a few more friends on Facebook, or maybe some real friends, you know, I hear, then that'll make my life happy, right? There's always something else we think will bring meaning, happiness. But Solomon had it all. He says, you know, I had all that. And what does he say in verse 8? He says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. In other words, we want more and more. Does that describe you and me? I mean, yeah, there's new things. See, what do you mean? There's new things? I mean, I got that new iPhone or that new Galaxy. I got that new big screen TV or that new car. Yeah, there's all kinds of new technologies and gadgets, but we still have the same dissatisfaction and meaningless under the sun. See, the more things change, the more they really stay the same. Solomon thought, if I just build this big temple for God, then I'll be happy. Or if I just have these beautiful gardens and enjoy them, or if I could just have 800 wives. Woo! I can have one, right? One's enough, right? Well, I'm sure you'd say it about husbands too, so I'm not saying anything you're not saying. But I mean, he tried it all. You know, as the Rolling Stones song says, I can't get no satisfaction. We strive for all kinds of things. That nicer house and that newer neighborhood, then I'm going to feel more important about myself. Or that next promotion. Or that my kid, if my kid just excels in sports or in academics, then I'm going to feel really good about myself. That's going to bring me the meaning that I've always wanted. If my team just wins that championship, then I'll be happy. The Blazers would finally win a championship, we would all be happy, right? It would last forever. No. These things aren't bad, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But they're not made to fulfill. They're not made to give meaning to our life. Life is meaningless in the big picture without Jesus. But here's the most cruel declaration and realization that Solomon came to. He kind of came to grips with that many of us, quite honestly, don't even think about. But you want to talk about depressing? Here's the depressing. He says, you know what? In the end, you're going to be forgotten anyway. How encouraging is that? Look at verse 11. What did he say? There is no remembrance of men of old, or even those who are yet to come. They're not going to be remembered by those who follow them. How many of you know the names of your great-great-great-grandparents? Just curious. Some of you, anybody know the names of your great-great-great-grandparents? Okay, one or two of you. How many of you know like their occupation or what their kids' names were? You know, if you did the family tree, maybe, but do you know what they really fulfilled them? I mean, that's, you know, you probably don't even know the names of your great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents. And those are the people that are your family. You know, these things that we do are going to, you know, let alone our own names, are going to be forgotten. You know, we think, well, there's some people who are really famous that we know of. Yeah, we kind of know of the thing that they're famous for, right? But in generations, I mean, that's kind of sad sometimes. We talk about with our kids, we talk about things, you know, actors or sports people or whatever. Or, you know, we say, oh, yeah, you know about that, right? And they're like, I never heard of that person. John Wayne. Oh, who's that guy? I have no idea. Muhammad Ali? Isn't he, I don't know, isn't he some old guy now, you know? And those are people that, yeah. Life under the sun, he says, the truth is life under the sun. Life here on earth without God, ultimately, you're not going to be remembered. Tim Keller, some of you heard of Tim Keller, great pastor in New York and a great author. He says this is like right between the eyes. And he says, you know, people sometimes say that Christians are naive. But he's talking to skeptics now. He says, but if you say your origin is insignificant, and if your destiny is insignificant, in other words, you don't believe there's a God, you don't believe that there's anything coming after you, then have the guts to admit that your life is insignificant. That's what Solomon's doing here. He's saying, have the guts to look life in the eyes, and if you don't have any real meaning, admit that your life is pretty insignificant. And Solomon, though, he didn't get this. He went through most of his life, and he didn't get that. He's just like everyone else, just going, running as fast as he can, getting as much as he can. But he comes to the end, toward the end, and God gets a hold of his heart. You know, Solomon thought, you know, if I just can use that earthly wisdom that God gave me, then I'm going to find meaning. If I really put my mind to finding purpose and meaning, then I can do it through wisdom. Look at verses 12 through 18. Finish out chapter here. says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that was done under heaven. Key, under heaven, under the sun. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I've grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. And then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly and sin, basically. But I learned that this too was chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. The teacher looks at wisdom and reminds us, you know what? He was given probably the most wisdom of maybe anybody. And yet, with that wisdom, what does he say? Wisdom under the sun is meaningless. He said, you know, I had all that wisdom and I searched for it, but it didn't fulfill me. He has all the tools. He had the resources. He had the books. He had the God-given ability, right, of knowledge and even wisdom about everything under the sun. Under, in other words, this earth. And despite growing up knowing God, he chose to walk away from God and to try to live life on his own. Turns away from God, leans on philosophy, leans on knowledge, leans on even religion. Okay, he still was religious. But he realizes after a lifetime of searching that, you know, wisdom doesn't really change anything. It doesn't really change reality. He says like chasing after the wind. Some things can't be changed by earthly knowledge and wisdom. Interesting little proverb he writes here. What is twisted cannot be straightened. You know, there's things that we wish we could bend back into shape, right? That we maybe have, we've kind of broken. How about relationships? Sometimes you break a relationship and you can't fix it. Or there's something in your life that you've messed up and it can't be straightened back out. It just can't. No matter how much you try. You know, there's people that we can't manage. There's situations that we can't solve. The world has and always will be full of injustice and suffering, right? Crime. And these things will not be solved under the sun. Wisdom has no power other than to observe those things. You know, education, right? We talk to our kids. Education's important, but you know what? I think something that we certainly miss here in the United States, you know, is we think college and education is the end. If only my kid will get a college education, then they are destined for success and meaning in this life. Again, I'm not against college, you know. My kids went to college, two of them. But you know, think about this. If Solomon couldn't find meaning and make real change through his knowledge and wisdom, then who can? Solomon says it's like chasing after the wind. You ever try to chase after the wind? Or here's a better example. Not better, but different example. You know, remember when you were a kid or maybe an adult, you love those. You blow those balloons, you know, or not balloons, bubbles, you know, and those bubbles go there. And you go and you go and you try to catch one. And in the moment you touch it, what happens? It's gone. So that's what... that's what's chasing after all this other stuff. It's chasing after wisdom and knowledge. You know what? You see it, but you can't grasp it. They pop and disappear. It's kind of like, as we say, it's like herding cats. That's our phrase nowadays. Like herding cats. Things of this world, like wisdom, aren't going to change things. They're not going to bring many meaning without God. Without God. It's like trying to catch the wind. It's impossible. Matter of fact, Solomon tried. And he said, you know what? Actually, what it brought to me, he said, it brought me sorrow and grief. Why? Think about this. If it just took knowledge or wisdom, why haven't we yet solved things? Seems like simple things like homelessness. Why haven't we solved poverty or crime? Suicide, and the list goes on. If it was just knowledge and wisdom. See, those things in itself will not satisfy. Actually, Solomon says it brings pain. Why? Because we know it should be different. Somebody who's smart and knows this stuff and knows that it should be able to change values. We can't. And so it kind of brings depression, grief, versus those who just kind of go through life and, I don't need to think about that. I'm just going to worry about my life. There's other people who are trying to solve stuff. And we do some good. I'm not saying we can't do good, okay? But we're not going to solve it under the sun. The more we know, the more we see sin and folly and hurt in this world. You depressed yet? I hope so, because that's his point. We're going to see it. If it's getting you down and depressed, that's actually good. Because the teacher Solomon is showing that his life of not following God, before he turned to the God that was based basically on his human wisdom and his self-sufficiency, he's saying, you know what? I tried it and it's meaningless. Ecclesiastes gives us a bleak look at life without God for a purpose. There's a purpose. See? Our frustration is meant to drive us back to God, to Jesus. Philosophy, education, religion, self-improvement courses, all those things are ultimately going to end in frustration, right? And some of you experience that. Some of you are experiencing it right now, frustrations of life. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says this. This is actually God. It says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast in their wisdom. Let not the strong boast in their strength. Let not the rich boast in their riches. But if anyone would boast, the one who boasts about this, that they have understanding to know me. This is God. This is one of the most powerful things. God's in his word. Know that I am the Lord and that I exercise kindness and justice and righteousness on earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. The book of Ecclesiastes can only really be understood when you look at the end. It's kind of like the Bible. You got to look at Revelation to really understand the rest of it. So we're going to do that. Don't tell anybody else. People will come next week. They're going to be like, well, I don't, what are we doing? You guys were here the first week. You're going to get it. But turn to the end of Ecclesiastes. You got to go to the end. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, 9 to 14. We'll probably come back to this. So that's okay. If they weren't here this week, they'll get it. Listen to verse 9 through 14. This is the end. He says, not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by the one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study actually wearies the body. But now we've heard all of this. Here's the conclusion, right? Here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. When we look to God in reverence and in awe, we can find meaning and beauty in life. Life is meaningless without the Lord, Solomon says. You might say, well, the Bible or Ecclesiastes doesn't even mention Jesus. You've been saying life's meaningless without Jesus. Does it mention Jesus? Well, not by name, but I believe it does. Look at verse 11 again. All right? You see that in verse 11? The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by the one shepherd. Who's the one shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the one meant to lead and to guide and to give us lasting meaning. God's word. He says here, God's word, not just here in Ecclesiastes, but throughout God's word. He's saying God's words are true wisdom. They're the tools in the shepherd's hand to help us to experience life with meaning. God's truth give meaning. It's interesting, he says his word, these truths I've been sharing in Ecclesiastes, we're just in the first chapter, but we'll look. He says they're like goads, not goats, goads. You know what a goad is? It's kind of like a staff, only it's got a little prick at the end. Okay, it's kind of a long stick, and it's used to prod the sheep to go where they need to go. And so he says God's word is kind of like that goad. And God wants to prod us out with his word to show us where we need to go. But he also says, you know what? It's also like a nail or a stake. You put a stake in the ground And what do? You know, if you want your sheep to stay there, you tie a little around its foot or neck, whatever. And it keeps it from what? Wandering off into danger, into getting lost. And it's the same for us. God's word is like that nail pounded again to keep us from wandering from his truth, from his way. Solomon came to the conclusion, as we see here, if you want meaning and purpose and joy, then you must fear, trust, and obey God and his word. Now, some people hear that word fear. Oh, man, that's why I don't follow God, because I'm supposed to be afraid of him. No, fear means awe and respect. He is worthy of our awe and respect. He's God. If we want to talk about life and meaning in life, we need to always look to God and his word. And it took Solomon, he says, it took me way too long to figure that out. I wasted most of my life figuring this out. And he shows us, he can show you there's lots of things that are going to lure us away. And some of us are being lured away even now. Things that we think will bring us meaning and happiness. And so we pour our heart, our mind, our money, our time into those things. And Solomon says, don't do that, because it's just going to end up being meaningless. You'll find out, you'll figure it out. At some point, maybe you'll figure it out, unfortunately, at your death. That's the worst. You don't want to figure that out then. But he says, you need to see that life is meaningless without Jesus, without the shepherd. And so when we think about life, when we talk about life, when we live life, we need to allow Jesus, our good shepherd, and his word to guide us. Allow him, allow his word to be a goad for you, right? Allow him to poke you to go in the way that he calls us to go. As I challenged our young people in class this morning, I said, you got to allow God's word. You got to read it to know what direction he's calling you to go. But it also, it's going to be that stake, that nail that keeps you from wandering off to those places that are just going to, they're going to hurt you. You know, there were animals out there that would kill sheep. There are things out there that want to destroy God's sheep, you and I. So don't wander too far from his word. This is the wisdom that we're going to be seeing here in the next number of weeks, to look and see how we can find true meaning in this life so that we won't be like Solomon at the end of our life and say, life is meaningless. But rather we can say, with Jesus, life has great meaning and great purpose. So I hope that you'll continue with me. I hope you'll join me next week and the week after as we continue this journey and talk about life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the beginning of this series and this first part of this memoir, this journal that Solomon talked about. And Lord, showing us that really life in general, but especially he's focused on, you know, wisdom is not going to bring us ultimate meaning. All these other things, Lord, help us to look to our shepherd. Help us to look to you, Jesus, and to cling to you and allow you to show us what's going to bring us meaning, happiness now, and as we celebrated last week, forever, because you promised us eternal life as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.